I was an ornery child. That word, ornery, or perhaps as you know it, ornery. It's one of my favorite Southern terms, but we say it ornery. It refers to anything from, well, minor mischief, like climbing my neighbor's tree without asking permission first, to, well, full-on juvenile delinquency. And I have to tell you, as a child, I fell somewhere in between. I was always getting on fights on the playground, arguments with one of my three sisters. In general, I was really not a very pleasant child to be around. I was born and raised in a small oil boom town in the middle of the Texas panhandle. My father was Catholic, and my mother, an independent evangelical Baptist, if you couldn't tell. I have three younger sisters and a large extended family, and we are all so emotionally close. Many of us at that time lived literally across the street from one another. My sisters and I would often play in the public park that was right by our house, of course, only until the streetlights came on. But one night, after a typical Texas rainstorm, we decided to take our roller skates and skate around the tennis court, something we had done many, many times before. But on this particular night, the courts, while filled with various puddles, and while we did enjoy that scent of fresh rain wafting into our noses as we swapped our skates for shoes, oh, that night, joining us was a young neighborhood girl. She would sometimes skate with us, but for reasons I still cannot explain, I waited for her to take off her brand new, pristine white tennis shoes and place them on a bleacher nearby. I then proceeded to skate over and take the new shoes off the bench. I zoomed around the tennis court looking for the deepest and muddiest puddle I could find. While she was skating with my sisters, I proceeded to place those bright white tennis shoes into the puddle upside down. Seeing this, the young girl skated over to her shoes, lifted them up, and proceeded to cry a deep, guttural cry that to this day I don't think I've heard again. These were not tears of anger or frustration. They were instead those wailing cries of deep hurt. Through those wails of sadness, she explained that it had taken her father 2 months to earn enough to buy her those shoes. She explained that they had to last her all year. Upon hearing this, something broke inside of me. This experience was far too much for my little heart to contain, and overwhelmed by the realization of the great pain that I had just inflicted intentionally on another, I ran home to the only thing I knew would make it better, the arms of my mother. It was in our small kitchen that this beautiful, loving Baptist woman explained that right now, right then, I had a choice to make. I could remain a person who would cause great pain to others, or I could surrender to the power of love and allow it to change me, make me something more, something different. There, with my mother, I chose love. And honestly, I felt a transformation of spirit. It was really the first time in my life that I experienced the transcendent, or what I use, the symbol that I use to describe that, God. As a Unitarian Universalist, I deeply believe in the transformative power of love. I see love as the conduit to which all of us may, in fact, be born again. As a young Baptist, I believe that this transformative power was exclusively the result of my personal relationship with Jesus the Christ. But if I'm honest, something always felt a little wrong with that exclusivity. It seemed to take the love that I embraced with my mother's help and somehow diminish it, as though its only there with Jesus. Surely, I thought, the love that I felt in that kitchen all those years ago could not be that small. The language of my childhood was also very inadequate to describe the sense of wholeness and change that I had experienced. For one thing, the language assumed God to be exclusively masculine, but it was my mother's feminine arms that exuded love that night. The language of my childhood used to describe God as often angry and vengeful. But I had been peaceably and lovingly called into its embrace, an embrace of reconciliation and healing. Yes, the stories of that God just didn't match the loving, transcendent experience that I had with my mother all those years ago. Over many years, I have tried to find other ways to describe this transformative power that I had as a child. This search led me to seek other world religions for similar transformation stories. I was interested to see that the experience of this transformative love was really not unique to me, nor to our Jewish and Christian religious traditions. In Hinduism, for example, transformative love was demonstrated in the story of the Mahabharata War, where two groups are fighting for the throne of an ancient Indian kingdom. In this story, the leader of one of the two factions, King Arjuna, is faced with the gross realization that his army was about to annihilate not some unknown force. Oh no, it's his very own family members. This throws him into an existential crisis, and his charioteer right next to him, a man named Krishna, reveals to him the sacred learnings, which eventually become the Hindu sacred text, the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was so filled with divine love that he refused to fight and instead chose to relinquish the entire kingdom to the other side. I feel like Arjuna experienced something like me, or rather me like him. I think he had a puddle moment. My search suggested that there were others too. The wealthy prince Siddhartha, who when confronted with the realization of human suffering and his complacency in it, he becomes the Buddha. A deep recognition that we are sometimes complacent in justice and injustice, that might be a puddle moment. Muhammad, peace be upon him, in an act of deep devotion, praying in a cave near the town of Mecca, received the opening to the Holy Quran from the angel Gabriel. Yet when he heard the Arabic word ikra, meaning to read, he couldn't believe that Allah would select an illiterate man to provide this new revelation of submission. A deep disbelief in your own ability to encounter the divine, maybe that's your puddle moment. While I had committed to do no intentional harm as a child, as a gay man, I was still raised believing I was an abomination to the divine. I internalized the message that God's love was not mine to have. I learned to be ashamed of these hidden parts of myself, and unfortunately convinced myself that since no person could ever love me as I am, holy love was completely off the table. It would be 20 years of my life before I would learn to recognize that God's love is omnipresent. As process theologian Marjorie Sahoki says, God is the water of the universe, the metaphysical stuff that flows amongst all the nooks and crannies. I like to think that Dr. Sahoki would believe that this water, this metaphysical stuff, can even be found in those puddles. And that includes the souls of all those I love, my own soul, your soul, as well as the souls of the people whom we struggle to love. Today, our world is consumed with fear. Fear of the foreign, ignorance of our own internal biases, acceptance of white supremacy, and intolerance of all that seems unfamiliar. These evils seem to encourage those in power to value some lives over others, white lives before those of people of color, straight lives before queer, and cisgendered lives before transgender, perhaps citizens even before immigrants. But even in the face of these circumstances, I really believe that we shouldn't get too bogged down, because our faith affirms that divine transformation for ourselves and our communities is available to all of us. In our faith, this love, it is not kindled only by Krishna. It is not beholden only to Buddha. It is not moved only by Muhammad. It is confronted not only through Christ. In our faith, we are all inherently worthy of the waters of love that flow through the nooks and crannies of creation. Some years after I had deposited that little girl's shoes in the puddle, I tried to find her, to apologize to her. I wanted to apologize for my thoughtfulness and actually to thank her for the opportunity it afforded to choose a different path. For one reason or another, I was never able to locate her, but the lesson I learned from her and my mother has never left me. Indeed, it has animated my pursuit of ministry, that even out of the murky waters of a puddle can emerge the clean, still waters of transformation, that even in the face of fear and ignorance and cruelty, that we all might be washed in the power of love. Amen.